second. Right now, of course, our 9 o'clock segment. You know by now, we do it each and every week. Let's go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our good friends right here in Palm Beach Gardens at PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, Tiger Woods, the number one player in the world. He came back to the PGA Tour after an eight-month hiatus last week at the match play out in Tucson, Arizona. He took this week off. He's back in action next week at Doral for the CA Championship. What do we expect from Tiger next week?
Well, I know we disagree on this, Russ, and believe me, I can see your side of this argument just as easily as mine. You know, you have very high expectations for him. I just think that even after last week of the match play, where I think he said he only mishit two shots in the two matches that he played, and kind of just said that you can play well a match play and still get beat, or play poorly and still win, and he didn't play that bad. He just got beat by Tim Clark, who was playing better. At the same time, I still think there's got to be some kind of a rust factor, even with, you know, last year taking 2 months off essentially from the Masters to the U.S. Open and him winning that. And believe me, nothing Tiger would do would surprise me. But at the same time, I still think he's human. So I think there's got to be some adjustment to getting back. He even admitted that he hasn't been walking 18, you know, in these past 8 months, and he forgot how physical, you know, what kind of physical shape you have to be in to do that. So I look for him, obviously, to be competitive. He's not going to just show up and, you know, be middle of the pack. I think he'll be competitive. But winning's going to be a different thing. I think he's going to still got to take a few tournaments to get back into this a little bit. And I know we don't have a lot of time till we get to the Masters. But I think he'll be competitive at Doral. I don't think he wins there. But I think he's going to be trying to build that for the Masters. And like I said all along, I only think Tiger wins a couple tournaments this year, just due to the fact that I think it's going to take him this summer to get really over that knee injury.
Well, you know, I think he's going to have a top five at the very least. He's had four top fives in a row. You go back the last 4 years, you know, he had a top five last year at the 08 CA Championship. In 07, he won the CA Championship. And in 05 and 06, he won what was then the Ford Championship. So, you know, horses for courses. Tiger Woods obviously loves the Blue Monster course at Doral. He's had four straight top fives. I think he'll have another top five next week at the CA Championship at Doral. I'd be a little surprised if he won, considering he only got to the second round of match play before getting bounced by a guy in Tim Clark who's not a world beater. I mean, he's never even won on the PGA Tour. Tim Clark, he's a world-class player. He's won over $10 million on the PGA Tour, which is staggering to consider when you think he's never won a tournament and he's won that much money. But I was a little surprised that Tiger went out so early, and I think I've kind of, you know, altered my expectations just a bit, having seen what I saw from him at match play, and he kind of underwhelmed me a little bit, you know, hitting a couple of, well, he hit that tee shot out of bounds on the par 4 15th, and it's rare that you see Tiger hit a ball out of bounds, so far right out of bounds, even though he re-teed and hit it to about 20 feet, but missed the par putt. So I think Tiger gets a top five next week at Doral. Do I think he wins? No, but if he does, it wouldn't totally surprise me. It would surprise me just a little bit.
I agree with you. Nothing he would do would surprise me, but I just logically, I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle this summer. All right, rest number two going to you. We are coming to you live from PGA National at the Champ. And the three holes that get a lot of play here are the bear trap holes, which are 15, 16, 17, two par threes, and a very difficult par four, number 16, sandwiched in there. But there's a little par five at the end that, number one, not a lot of players can get to, and number two, even though it's a par five, plays very difficult, especially being the last hole of the tournament. A lot of guys get nervous, as evidenced by Boo Weekly a couple years ago, missing a three-footer that would have won the thing for him. So nonetheless, very difficult closing four holes. My question to you, Russ, is it the best four-hole closing on the PGA Tour, or do you have something else to
offer? I think if you're talking about four holes, then this is it, no doubt about it. Right here at PGA National, the Honda Classic is closing four holes, 15 the par 3, 16 the par 4, 17 the par 3, and then the 18th hole, the 605-yard-long par 5. It's one of only 22 par 5s on the PGA Tour over 600 yards. Now, by the way, today it'll be playing up again. It'll be playing up 40 yards at 560 yards. not all the way back at 6:05. Yesterday it was playing from the back tee, 6:05. On Thursday and Friday it was playing up at 560. So it does give the players a little bit of a chance to reach when it's playing up by 45 to 50 yards. And the wind's prevailing in your face, so it's a very difficult hole. I think this is the best closing four holes on the PGA Tour, no doubt about it. If you're talking about the closing three holes and then you omit 15, which is part of the bear trap, and I don't think you can do that here. I think TPC Sawgrass has a little bit of a leg up with their closing stretch of the par 5 16th, the Island Green par 3 17th, and that great dogleg left, the par 4 18th. But there's no doubt about it. This closing stretch here at PGA National is right at the top of the list. And when you're talking about closing 18s, the par 5 18th here I think is one of the best, along with Sawgrass's par 4 18th, and then probably Pebble, the par 5 18th hole at Pebble. And probably this par 5 here and the par 5 18th at Pebble are the two best closing par 5s on the PGA Tour. And then I'd also include in that mix Doral's Blue Monster, the par 4 18th, which we'll see next week. And then also Harbortown. I think Harbortown Golf Links there and Hilton Head Island, that closing par 4 18 is a great closing hole as well.
I can't disagree with any of that. I think TPC definitely has a very tough stretch of three. 15 is not a hard hole there. So if you're going by three, I would say TPC before I kick this group in here, because these are awesome closing four holes here.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, broadcasting live this morning from PGA National Resort and Spa. Final round of the Honda Classic is underway, and we are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National. Topic number three, you thought this was a golf show, but we're going to go all political on you right now. Barney Frank reversing his opinion about corporate sponsorships on the PGA Tour in the world of golf. Now all of a sudden Barney's saying they're okay. Pat, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, just to sort of clarify, Frank basically said that if you're going to use bailout money, whether you're an automotive institution or a bank, you shouldn't use it. Initially, what he said was you shouldn't use it for golf sponsorships. It's a waste of money. He's come back to that a little bit and said you can use it for golf sponsorships, but you really shouldn't be using it to wine and dine people, entertainment, bringing groups in and those types of things.
$5,000 rounds of golf.
Exactly. Kind of thing. And, Barney Frank's about as left as you can be, and I'm more on the side of Attila the Hun on the right, so I don't usually agree with a lot of what he says. But in this case, I do. If you are taking money, the public's money essentially, to kind of restructure yourself and figure out a way to make your bank better, to make your auto dealer better, or whatever you're going to do, golf sponsorship should be pretty far down the line in terms of what you're doing to get your business back into a positive cash flow situation. So I'm going to agree with him for the most part on this. I do see that there is some marketing value, and it's very difficult to put a figure on, how much marketing you need to do to, get your brand awareness and all that stuff up there. So I don't know, what that number is. Anytime you're dealing in advertising or those types of things or goodwill, it's hard to put an exact number or impact on that.
Right.
But at the same time, you do want to project that you're a healthy industry and you're moving forward and those types of things. And I think golf's helped that. But if in these dire economic straits that we're in, most of that money should be going to your core operations and making sure you're doing things right so you don't get yourself into the situation you got in that you needed to bail out money in the first place. So I kind of agree with him on a lot of it and some of it. I'd actually probably go further than what he says.
I don't think I can disagree with you at all, Pat. I think you put it perfectly, and anything that I would say to follow that up would probably not sound as good. So I am in total agreement with you, Mr. Patrick.
All righty, Russ, number four, we go back to the more mundane and easily understood stuff that you and I can handle, Russ.
It's more my speed. Thank God.
If you've been watching it all, this last Monday, I believe, was the first episode of the Hank Haney Project on the Golf Channel, and Hank is undertaking the impossible task. You talk about trying to bail out companies. Well, this is even more impossible than that. He's trying to revamp Charles Barkley, the former NBA star, swing. My question, Russ, have you been watching the show? And if so, what do you think?
It's the Charles Barkley bailout. Hank Haney trying
That's
to bail
right.
out Charles Barkley from his horrible golf game. Well, I detest reality television. I can't stick it, but I have to admit, I'm hooked. After one episode, I am hooked. And Charles Barkley, of course, I think he's so gregarious. He's such a great personality that whatever he does, if you were going to follow him around for a day and just follow him as he went and did his dry cleaning and you know, picked up a Happy Meal at McDonald's or whatever, or shot some hoop in his backyard, it would be a riveting show, in my opinion, because he is so colorful. He is so outgoing. He's so interesting. He's such an interesting person. I'm hooked. I love this. They had the Tiger Day, Hank Haney, in the first episode, which debuted Monday night on Golf Channel. They've been repeating it ad nauseum. I'm getting a little tired of seeing the replays of the show, you know, day in, day out here. But then a new episode will come our way tomorrow night, 9 o'clock on the Golf Channel. But Hank Haney had Charles undertake what is called a Tiger Day, 10 hours of practice of golf in one day. It started at 7 a.m. It went all the way through until 5 p.m. It included a couple of two-hour sessions on the driving range with 9 holes of play on the course mixed in. At the end of the day, Charles Barkley estimated that he had hit upwards of 1,000 balls. And I'll tell you what, if you're doing that, if you're putting that much effort in, regardless of how ugly your swing is, there's no doubt you're going to get better because, I mean, with that much practice, Charles Barkley, first of all, he's a world-class athlete. He's a Hall of Fame basketball player. He can't help but get better.
Well, the problem is, Russ, if you watched in the very beginning when they showed clips of Charles from, you know, 20 years ago, like when he was really in shape playing basketball, and then he was playing golf, and he got himself to like a 12 handicap. You saw tape of that. He could hit the ball. He had a good rhythmic swing and all that. The problem is most of this has to be mental.
Yep.
And I don't know if Hank or God in heaven above could come down and figure out how to get him mentally right. Most of this game, as you know, is mental. Once you get to a certain level, it's mental. It's how much you can handle, what pressure you can handle being put on yourself.
And plus how much confidence you have at the moment of impact.
And now practice can help that and proper instruction, but ultimately it comes down to his ability to come through with a full follow-through swing, Russ, and he can't do that.
Yeah,
so, and I think that's mental.
Yeah, I agree with you. Most of it is mental. Hopefully Hank can help Charles with that and he can get back to being a 10 or 12 handicap the way he was a while back. And I think Charles said himself he thinks where it went wrong was when he started playing in front of large crowds of people, when he started playing at Lake Tahoe, when he started playing in tournaments and celebrity events that were broadcast on television, and he just started thinking way too much and started worrying about, you know, hitting a bad shot and being embarrassed. And obviously, that, as you mentioned, 90% of this game is mental, and then, as Yogi Berra would say, the other half is physical. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic, broadcasting live today from PGA National. Final round of the Honda Classic is underway, and that was another award-winning edition, tongue firmly in cheek, of our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. We're going to take a quick break. We're coming right back.